We're just a little bit awake now.
Semi-awake.
Okay. Just don't go semi-asleep, okay? All right, I forgot to mention one thing, and I won't be here next Sunday. I'm going to take the week off. And with that, Kenneth is going to be doing the message for us Wednesday, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. So I know God's placed something on his heart, and I know you'll want to come and hear that. So come next Sunday morning, and Kenneth's going to be bringing the message for us. So I appreciate that. All right, when I grew up, let me go ahead and let you turn in your Bible. So go ahead and turn in your Bible to John chapter 11. We're going to be all in John chapter 11. So John chapter 11, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 46. And while you're turning there, I'll share this with you. When I was a kid, Evel Knievel was one of the guys that I used to watch on TV. Y'all remember Evel Knievel?
Yeah.
Young kids, y'all are like, I have no clue who you're talking about. Who's Evel Knievel? This guy would like get on his bike and, do y'all remember the guy who like tightroped across the Grand Canyon? Like a little while ago? And tightroped walking across Niagara Falls? Y'all kids remember that? This guy, he was a daredevil, and he had this long pole, and he's walking along, and he's going along Niagara Falls and then Grand Canyon, and he's doing it without any safety things on there. Well, that was kind of like Evel Knievel. See, he did the same thing, except he did it with bikes. He would get on a bike and try to jump like the Grand Canyon or certain parts of it. He would try to jump like 20 or 30 cars at once. There was rumored that he had broken every bone in his body, but I read this week that he only broke 35 bones. So not all of them, just 35 bones. But he had broke some of them multiple times, like his arms and his legs and his wrist, he had broke multiple times. I liked watching him on TV, so then when I watched him, I'd get on my bike and I said, well, I'm Evel Knievel, and I can do the same thing. So where I lived first when I was growing up, it had this hill. The road was kind of like a hill, and I'd get on there and start going down the hill. And as I'm going down the hill, at the end, there was this ditch at the end of the hill. And I said, well, I'm Evel Knievel. I'm going to get me a ramp. I'm going to go down the hill, and then I'm going to jump it at the end. Y'all ever had near-death experiences? That was probably my closest that I came, because I was going down the hill and I'm thinking, here we go, Evel Knievel. The only thing is, he had on a hat or a helmet and all this stuff, and I just had on t-shirt and shorts, and I'm going down the hill and I try to jump that ditch and it doesn't go over too well. In fact, I'm the one that goes over the bike. I went home limping and wounded pride. I didn't break anything, but that was probably my closest near-death experience. Well, as we come to Easter, most of the time we talk about Christ being risen from the dead. That's the scripture that people use. I'm not using that this morning. I'm using John 11, which is Lazarus, God raising Lazarus from the dead. Because see, Lazarus didn't just have a near-death experience. Lazarus had a death experience where he was raised from the dead. And that's what we're going to look at today. So on your outline, our big idea is belief in Jesus is the beginning of life. Belief in Jesus is the beginning of life for you. It's for you and for me. All right, so let's go ahead and pray and then we'll get started. Lord, I thank you that we can come here this morning and we can celebrate your resurrection. Or we can go to a tomb 2,000 years ago and it'd be empty. In fact, your word says that it was empty. Ladies went there, they were going to put spices on the body. But it was empty. The tomb was completely empty. The stone rolled away and everything was empty. Just the cloth laying there. Lord, help us to realize what that means for us today. Lord, I just pray that you'll give me the words to say and just let everybody concentrate just for a little bit before we enjoy a breakfast. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so the first thing that we're going to look at is, why did Lazarus die? Why did he die? We can see starting out, it says a certain man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with the ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So I'm going to stop there for a second and let's start going through. First of all, the main thing that you can see in here is that Jesus knew Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He had stayed at their house before, so he knew them very well. In fact, in verse 3 when it says, so the sister sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. That word love there is a brotherly love. They're saying, we're friends. You know him. You're friends with him. It's that phileo word, meaning a brotherly love. He almost looked at him like a brother. They were friends. And they're saying, you know him. You know he's sick. You know he's hurting. So Lord, why don't you come help him out? So let's go through the rest and start seeing some of the timeline. It says, but when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that they were sick, or when he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews where you just now are seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. And this he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go, so that I may awaken him out of sleep. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Therefore Thomas, who is also called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, so that we may die with him. All right, so we can see in here that Jesus knew them, that they loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. So we can see there that there is a relationship with them. But now also, we can see in here that Mary and Martha are in Bethany. But now in the previous chapter, it tells that Jesus is across the Jordan. So he's a day's travel away. So we're starting out a day's travel away, and they send for Jesus, and they say, Lord, come help us right now because Lazarus is sick. Now when they send for him, they're basically at their wits' end. They've tried everything they can, and now they're saying, Lord, we need you. Come help us right now because your friend, Lazarus, I don't think he's going to make it. He's that sick that they're scared. And they send somebody a day's journey to come. You ever felt like that too? Where you're like, Lord, I need you right now because of what's going on right now. I've tried everything on my own and I need you. And I feel like we've got this relationship and right now I just need you to show up. Can you come help me right now? You ever prayed about something, hoping that something wouldn't happen? What we're going to see in this next is that it did happen. Because it says here that they asked him, they sent somebody, it took a day for that person to get there. And after that person gets there, Jesus says, this isn't going to end in death. I'm going to come. So the person goes back. And you got to think, that person's probably happy and they're going to send some good news back to that person. So they're going back over to Mary and Martha and they're saying, Lazarus is going to make it. And they come walking in, and you know what they walk into? They don't walk in to Lazarus laying in the bed anymore. They walk in, and Lazarus is in the tomb. So they're coming in, going ready to give good news from Jesus, saying Lazarus isn't going to die. But they come in and find that he's already dead. Because the story here tells us that he was dead for 4 days when Jesus made it there. So that means it was a day for that person to go there. And then it was 2 days that he delayed. And then it was a day for him to get there. That was the 4 days. So that person, when Mary and Martha sent the person to come and get Jesus to come back over there, as they're going over there, Lazarus dies. Now, can you imagine that? This person coming back in saying, Jesus says he's going to be okay. And he's already in the grave. Would that shake your faith? Because see, they have been praying all along, Lord, show up in a mighty way because we need you because Lazarus is sick. Can you help us right now? And then it turns around and it falls apart. And they're sitting there wondering, where's God in all this? Has that ever happened to you? Where you prayed about something and the opposite happened. God didn't show up. And then you're stuck there with the consequences. If that's happened to you, then you can relate to this story. You can relate to Mary and Martha right now. Because they asked Jesus to come help. And Lazarus died anyway. So when you're going through hard times, you can come to this story and say, they're in the same boat I'm in. They're going through things that I go through. Let me see how they dealt with it so I know how I should deal with it. So we can see here that Jesus comes in and he says, this sickness will not end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. So he sends that message to them. And as he sends it to them, basically he's encouraging them to believe his word. Even though everything else says otherwise, he's saying, believe what I said. This isn't going to end in death. And the same goes for us. Sometimes when it looks as bleak as everything, and we're thinking God's turned his back on us, we have to hold on to his word because he says in his word that he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. And there are times when it's hard for us to believe that as we go through life because we think he has forgotten me. He has forsaken me. And that's where they're at right now. But now, what about the disciples? What are the disciples thinking right now? Well, the disciples, they're probably thinking a few things. They're probably thinking, first of all, if Jesus is such a good friend with Lazarus, then why did he let him get sick? Because they had already seen him heal people. And they're like, well, look, if you're such good friends, why in the first place would you let him get sick? Next, they're probably thinking, why isn't he going to help? Because in verse 6, it says, so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed there 2 days longer in the place where he was. If you love him so much and you know he's sick, why are you stalling? What's going on here? Why are you waiting so long? Then the next thing they're probably thinking is, he could have just said a word and Lazarus was healed. Because back in John chapter 4, it talks about this nobleman that came up to Jesus, and he said, they're in Capernaum, and his son's in Cana, and he says, look, my son's way off. Can you go with me and heal him? And Jesus just says he's healed. And he just said the word, and the boy was healed. So the father's going back to his house, and people come up to him, and they're coming to give him the news that his son's healed. And he said, when did it happen? And they said, it happened at this hour. And the guy thought back and he said, that was the exact hour that Jesus said he's healed. So the disciples in the back of their mind are thinking, well, all he's got to do is just say one word. He's healed and he's healed. You can do that. Why aren't you doing that? Here's the thing. God's love is not a pampering love. You know, for us, like when we've got babies, we try to pamper them. You know, we get a car seat and we put it there and it's all nice and plush. We want to make sure that they're all protected. And then when we're carrying them with both hands, and we're making sure that they're pampered. In fact, what are pampers? Well, I mean, pampers, the word, the diaper, pampers. Because we want to pamper our babies, right? But God doesn't pamper us with His love. He wants to perfect us with His love. And sometimes that means that we have to go through hard things so that our faith is built up. If He gave us everything, then eventually we're going to say, why do we need you? Because we're so comfortable, we're going to say, I don't need you. I'm comfortable. But instead, He doesn't do that. Life's difficult. He knows it, and He's there for us anyway. But He's not going to pamper us because He wants to perfect us and draw us closer to Him. So that is why we go through suffering a lot of times. In fact, in Psalms 50, verse 15, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. It doesn't tell in that Psalms how He'll rescue us. It doesn't tell when He'll show up. It just says that He will rescue us. And then after that, that we should honor Him. So the disciples in the back of their mind are thinking, what's going on here? And He's thinking, I'm bringing you along so that your faith grows right now. But now, what's the cost of following Jesus? The cost of following Jesus, we can see that starting in verse 7. It says, then after this, He said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to Him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. And are you going there again? So they know that Jesus is a wanted man. And then I like it in verse 16 because Thomas, everybody talks about Thomas being down in Thomas because he didn't see Christ. And he said, I'm not going to believe until I see the nail prints, His side. I need to see that to believe it. So Thomas gets a bad rap a lot of times. But in this right here, Thomas doesn't. Because in verse 16, Thomas says to his fellow disciples, let us go so that we may die with Him also. He's saying, well, if Jesus is going to die, then I'm going with Him. So let's just get up and go. See, he understood. Following Christ will cost us something. It'll cost us something. But here's the thing. It will cost us something, but He's going to give us the strength to give it up. It may hurt, but He's going to give us the strength to give it up anyway. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John tells us, he says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, John's putting it plainly there, because he's seen it here. Following Christ will cost you something. You can't hold on to the world and follow Christ at the same time, because the two are in opposite directions. And he's saying, there's no way that that can happen. So it will cost you something to follow Christ. And the disciples are finding that out now. So let's move on to the next part of the story. And in here we're going to see that Jesus meets you wherever you are in life. Jesus meets you wherever you are in life. Starting in verse 19, it says, and many of the Jews who had come to Mary and Martha and to console them concerning their brother. And Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet Him. But Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would have not died. And even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. So we can see here that Jesus knows the situation He's going into. He's coming into the city, and Martha gets message of it, and she goes out. She wants to meet Him. Now, can you imagine that meeting right there? He had sent word that Lazarus isn't going to die. Lazarus is in the tomb. Can you imagine what Martha, how she felt? And we can see it because she said point blank to Him, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. She wasn't happy with Him. She was mad. She knew that He could heal. And He wasn't there. And she was mad about it. She was upset about it. And not only her, but also we can see that Mary said the exact same thing. Because in verse 32 it says, therefore, when Mary came, when Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She said the exact same thing that Martha had said. I think they sat around while he was on his way there, and in their grieving said, Lord should have showed up. If he would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And they probably started to blame him. Lord, you didn't show up. And my brother died because you didn't show up. Now, here's the thing. Jesus went there anyway. And I think he delayed for one reason. Because if you look in the New Testament, anywhere in the New Testament, you don't see anybody die in Jesus' presence. You only see where he heals people, where nobody died. And Jesus knew if I show up at this time, then their faith isn't going to be strengthened as much as I need it to be. I need it to be strengthened. I need these disciples to see in a mighty way who I am. I need Mary and Martha to see. I need Lazarus to see. So I'm going to hold off. And I'm going to wait. And I'm going to let them. But then here's the other thing. Verse 15 is... No, not verse 15. I have lost my place in here. Let me see for a second. Verse 35. Shortest verse in all the Bible. It's our memory verse for this week. What is it? Jesus wept. He comes to them. He knows what's going on. He knows what he's walking into. He goes walking into the house, or goes walking into a situation, and he knows everything that's going on. And he sees them, and he sees what they're going through. And what does he do? Does he reprimand them? Because they come to him and they said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Did he get on to him? He came and he showed compassion and he showed love. Jesus wept. We can see that they were weeping, and that weeping that they were doing was this loud cry out. Have you ever seen people cry out in a loud voice and it's almost like they lose control and they're crying like crazy? Y'all seen people that do that? That's what they were doing. Him, this word for weep for him was like you could probably see the tears running down his eyes because he was just so close to them that he hated to see them hurt. And the thing is, he feels compassion for us, and he hates to see us hurt, but at the same time, he wants us to grow. And he knows a little bit of pain will increase our faith a lot. So he's going to let that happen. So Jesus is going to meet you wherever you are in life. It doesn't matter. Even if you're at deathbed, it doesn't matter. He's going to show up wherever you are. And what's the last thing that we can see on here? The last thing we can see is a resurrected life comes through faith in Christ. A resurrected life comes through faith in Christ. And we can see that starting in verse 23. It says, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the day of the resurrection, or the last day. See, the Jews believed that on the last day that they would all be resurrected. So she's saying, look, I know he's going to live again because the day of the resurrection is coming up. And he says, no. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and does believe in me will never die. And then he asks a question. Do you believe this? See, I think that's a question that all of us have to ask ourselves. Because Jesus is not only speaking to her, but he's speaking to us too. Because he comes in and says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. But then he asked everyone sitting in this room this morning, do you believe this? Do you believe the words of Christ right there? Now see, he's saying right off the bat that life can only come through Christ. Resurrection can only come through Christ, is what he's saying. And then he says, do you believe this? You truly believe this? See, life can only come through the Creator. Can't come through any other source. Only the Creator can give us life. And that's what he's saying here. I'm your Creator, and I am the only way that you can have life. That's it. No other way. Now, my question for each of you this morning, do you believe this? Do you believe he's the only way? And that's something that each person has to answer for themselves. Because we're going to look at how some people answer this. Because in verse 36 and verse 37 it says, so the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man also from dying? You see, they saw it and they didn't believe. So they were saying, if Jesus loved Lazarus so much, then why didn't he just heal him? I mean, we've seen him do all this stuff, but he can't raise Lazarus from the dead. They're probably thinking he's crying over there because they can see the tears falling. They're saying he's crying because he can't heal him. They don't believe in what Christ can do. They don't believe in anything at all. And our world is the same way nowadays. Our world doesn't believe in Christ. This past week, or 2 weeks ago, I think it was, there's a group called Freedom From Religious, the Freedom From Religious Association. Y'all ever heard of them? I didn't either until about 2 or 3 weeks ago. They sent a letter to the Clemson University Athletic Department. See, what happened is the Clemson coaches, they encourage people to pray. They encourage people to read their Bibles. They have a chaplain on staff so that if somebody needs to talk to somebody, they can come in and talk to them. If they need a Bible, they'll give it to them. Well, this group, this Freedom From Religious Association, they're atheists. They don't believe in a God, which is, to me, is kind of crazy that you don't believe in a God. You look outside, you can see there's a God. We just went through spring, everything coming to life. That doesn't just happen. There's a God. But this group, they said, look, you can't do any of that. You can't pray for your people. You can't do Bible studies. You can't do all that. So when I say our world doesn't believe, our world doesn't believe. This group's in Wisconsin, and they're trying to come down here to the South, trying to tell these coaches what they can and can't do. If my kid played, I would hope that his coach would pray for him. I would hope that he would share Bible verses with him. I would hope he would do all that. And it would make me mad, just like it does now, that a group comes in and says, you can't do that. But that's our world today. Some people, they just don't believe. Now others, they believe with words. We can see that in verse 38, starting in verse 38 through 40. It says, so Jesus again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. And now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You see, Martha had just said earlier, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you're the Christ. But then now, all of a sudden, Christ comes over to the tomb. There's a big stone there. And he says, move the stone. And she's like, whoa, wait a minute. 4 days, you know what that's going to smell like? I can't imagine. I've never smelled that. But now when we moved into the parsonage about a year ago at this time, one night I heard this little, like a little critter, making a noise. And that little critter stopped making a noise. And that thing had gotten into one of the ventilation pipes, from the air conditioner, and had its final breath there in that air conditioning pipe. And, you know, after a couple of days, every time the air came on, it'd blow right over that, whatever that was. and you'd smell it. And it was in my bathroom of all places. My bathroom. So I'm thinking, this smelling so bad, I'm thinking there's a sewer problem. I'm thinking the septic tank is backed up or something. So the plumber comes out and he laughs. He says, that's not what it is. He says, you got some critter there in your ducts or somewhere in the wall or something. See, I grew up in the country too, and I've smelled that before. This was worse. I think it was because before it was in the walls and you would have a little bit of room. This was in the pipe and it would blow on it. So we had that stench for, oh, it was a long time. I took a block and just put it over that vent so that it would just cut it off, and all it would do then was back up and blow into the house from another vent. And we stayed with that stench for a while. So I can understand Martha saying, he's getting ready to roll the tomb. She's like, whoa, wait a minute, because she smelled it before, and she said, you don't want to go in there. Just like I tell the kids, you don't want to go in the bathroom right now because that thing is stinking in there right now. So she's saying, I believe you, because she said, I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe all this stuff. But then when it comes to time for the stone to be rolled away, she's like, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe I don't believe. Maybe I don't believe as much as I said I did. And see, I think that can be some people today. They can say they believe, but then when they know down deep in their heart, they don't believe. So it looks good out front, but then in the privacy of their own house, they know they don't believe. And see, here's the thing. God knows just like you know. That's why I ask, this is a question that only you can answer, whether you do or don't believe. You can say it, you can make it sound good, you can say, oh yeah, I believe all this stuff, but you got to believe. And then we can see the others that did believe, and starting the others that also believe, we can see that a little bit later, because when he rises Lazarus from the tomb, says therefore in verse 45, says therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. They saw it, they heard his words, and they believed. And there was no doubt in their mind anymore about who he was. You see, they knew it, they believed it. There have been people for over 2,000 years now who have tried to disprove that Christ was raised from the dead. And it's funny because some of the people that try to disprove it as much as they can end up to be believers in the end. And they go on to write books saying now how much they believe in Christ because they've tried their best to disprove it. And it keeps leading back to the thing of Christ is the Son of God. Christ was raised from the dead over 2,000 years ago, and Christ did it for you, and he did it for me. And they keep coming back to that same thing. And some of them accept it, and some of them push it away. So as we come here this morning, and we celebrate Christ risen from the dead, I got a few questions for you. Because I know I'm past time, that's all right. Y'all going to be eating, so I got you here for a while. Y'all aren't leaving. I know it. All right. But here's what I want to ask you. I think there are things that we can see from Lazarus. The first is, some of us are like Lazarus laying in the tomb. And we're dead spiritually, and we don't even know it. And there's a stench coming out, and that stench is coming out from the world because we're all caught up in the world. And we're just laying there waiting to be resurrected. We're waiting for Christ to come and say, do you believe in me? Do you believe I can do this for you? So some are like that. Some are in that tomb, but they say they know Christ. But yet, you see what they say, and you see what they do, and the two don't match up. And those are the people that are going to have to look down deep in their hearts today and say, do I really believe? Because I say I believe in Christ, I say all this stuff, but my life doesn't show it. And see, he says, In John 2:15, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Meaning, if you're saying you're of me, but your life shows different, then do you really believe it all? And that's what some people here today need to answer. And it's nothing that I can answer for you. That's between you and God. And you've got to know down deep, I believe. I believe. Then there are others of us that are like Lazarus coming out of the tomb. Because see, when Lazarus came out of the tomb, it wasn't like Christ, because Christ, when he came out of the tomb, all the cloths were just laid there, neatly folded. Lazarus comes out, and it says in here that he was bound from head to foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. See, he comes out looking like a mummy. That's basically the way he comes out. It would have been funny to see him walking, because he probably would have been shuffling, because he couldn't walk too good, because he was all bound up. See, I think that's some believers today. See, they say, I believe in Christ, but they are still caught up in the world. They're just like Mary and Martha, and they're saying, look, I'm not sure. And they're still living in the world. And they're all bound up. And God can't use them the way He wants to use them, because they're all bound up, just like Lazarus. Is that you today? Are you so caught up in what's going on in the world that He can't use you? But then there are others that are like Lazarus, and he's freed. Because it says, Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. And those are the ones that are walking around. Everything's taken off of them. All the bindings are gone, and they're able to walk around and proclaim Christ. They're able to walk around and share Christ. And nothing's holding them back. And I can't imagine what Lazarus was saying. Can you imagine being brought back to life? And then how you would be able to share that with others? I bet he was telling everybody that he ran in front of, do you know what Christ did for me? Do you know what Christ did for me? So as we close this morning, what I want to ask you is, which one of those people are you? Are you still laying in the tomb dead? And you might even be saying, I believe, but you're down deep, you know you don't. Maybe you're so caught up in this world that you're bound up just like Lazarus. And you need to just cut all those bindings away. Or third, maybe you're just like Lazarus and you're going out and telling everybody and nothing's holding you back. My prayer is that everybody in here would be the last. But reality says it's not. So as I close in prayer, I want you to ask yourself, where am I this morning? Where do I fall on this? And I'm going to be down front as we sing the benediction song or the invitation song. If you fall into any one of those other two categories, I'll be glad to share with you how you can know Christ. The altar will be open. You can come down and pray. We can take as long as we need, because nobody's going down until I says it's time to go, okay? So don't let time hold you back. I think this is a decision that is important enough that we can all wait. Well, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for what you did for us on the cross, but I thank you also for what you did for us in the grave, how you arose from the grave. Lord, I thank you also that you're willing to meet us wherever we're at. You knew the situation when you were going in to meet Mary and Martha, and you didn't duck it. You went straight in, and you had compassion, and you showed them love, and you brought them close to you. But also, Lord, you raised Lazarus from the dead, and you offer that to us too. All we have to do is believe. Believe in you. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, you'll let them know this morning. Today's a day to come clean. Maybe there's somebody here and they say, I believe, but they know down deep they don't. Lord, they're still lost. They still don't know you. I pray that you'll let them know they need to give it all over to you completely. Lord, maybe there's somebody here that's all bound up with the world. They're so focused on the things of the world that they've lost sight of you. Lord, help them to to come back to you today. To take all those death burial wrappings off of them. And to come back to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.